WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Should I do the intro now, or should I be like The Undertaker and just wait?
Wait.
Wait.
Wait. Wait, wait for it. Wait. We have to wait for the perfect opportune moment.
Waiting.
Cue the lightning.
There's lightning somewhere. Someone do a lightning thing.
And now.
And welcome everyone to another edition of Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. It is presented as always by youtube.com/MBG1211. That's MBG Films. What a night. A Monday Night Raw action that got everyone excited. Everyone has been talking about it. Some could say this show was lit.
This is one of the best episodes of Raw I've seen in months.
It had this, a feel that was predictable but unpredictable.
There was an edge to it. There was a bite to it. It moved. Oh, Jesus Christ, did this show move? I was so happy. Like, normally it's like you hit that, like, 10 o'clock spot and it just drags. This didn't do that. It just kept moving. We had segment, after match, after match. There was no 30-minute promo, much to the rejoicing of the IWC. We started the show off with wrestling and we just kept going from there. And you may ask yourself, what's the difference? What changed?
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the advocate for the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar. It's Paul Heyman.
This had his fingerprints all over it. You could tell just from the way that the show was shot, the way the show was lit, the way it was written, it was presented. You want to know why I know that? Because they wrote The Undertaker correctly.
No. Want to know how you know that? Watch the first 15 minutes of Raw.
That too. That too, but mainly because the pyro was applied correctly there. Like, we actually had pyro tonight, guys. When was the last time on Monday Night Raw we had pyro? I can't even remember. Now, granted, it wasn't a lot, but we still got it.
But, and this goes to show you, you don't need it all the time. Because when you use it, it matters.
Yep, and it was super impactful.
Okay, So where do you want to start? Want to start with Undertaker or you want to start with the opening angle?
Well, let me just say this, and then let's start with the opening angle, but let me say this. So Paul Heyman was not completely 100% in charge of this show. He's still taking over in his new role. I want to clarify that. I don't want everybody to be like, oh, you know, well, you said on Thursday Paul Heyman wasn't starting yet. No, Paul Heyman was involved in this because Paul Heyman's already kind of been doing what he's doing now, essentially. It's just in an official capacity, but I mean, because Vince was still very much in control of the show, but Paul definitely had influence. He definitely had an impact, and it made a world of difference, especially in the opening segment of Monday Night Raw, which last week we saw Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman engaging in a tractor pull.
Tug of war.
With trucks. Well, this week...
Well, no, it was just them, but Strowman was pulling trucks.
Strowman was pulling trucks. This week, we had a nice little hype package explaining the feud, basically saying how we got to where we are, and completely justifying a false count anywhere match between Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman. Like, they just did a quick little about here's what's happened to get us to this point. And then we had the match.
And they just brawled around the arena, which is what they do best.
This was so the right way to do them. This was so the right way to show them. Don't have them do a 15-minute wrestling match. Have them throw each other around. Have them fight. Have them brawl. Have them go everywhere. That's what you should do. Like, I understand that Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley are perfect, competent wrestlers, and I appreciate that, but they're fighters, especially Lashley. Lashley's a goddamn MMA fighter. Strowman's a brawler. They don't need to be having a wrestling match. They need to be having a fight. Like, if they hate each other this much that they're willing to engage in a not so friendly game of tug of war involving semis to get at each other, you should lead to this point somehow. And so I really like how they did this, how they just sort of told that story a little bit, which led to a really spectacular finish in this.
So the spectacular finish you were talking about. So they're brawling up on the stage, and then Strowman gets that look in his eye where he wants to do something Strowman-like. And so he revs up his engine, and he charges at Bobby Lashley and drives him through the LED boards. You have pyro going off to act like explosions, because as they explained, that's where all the stuff is set up for the show that controls the Trons and everything, which is why when it exploded, all the power went out on the stage. This is where all the electronics were. That's why they was like, here's a reason why there's explosions, which made sense. They gave a backstory other than, oh my god, things just went off. They told you as they were going through the footage, this is what happened.
Which I loved. That, and there was a lot of that tonight, that there was more explaining in terms of what this is and how this works and why we should be buying into this. Because I feel like for a long time, we've missed the why. Like, why should I buy into this person? Why should I buy into this feud? And it's just, they're trying to hook you with a story, but they're not giving you a why in terms of why I should be hooked. And so tonight there was a lot more of explaining things while telling the story, that it's in a competent and sensical, that's not a word, but a sensical way that you can sit there and be like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, okay.
Goke is following up with you. It's like, yeah, they explained all the stories. That's what they did. They told you what was going on. They gave you the reason behind it. So to finish up this angle, so they go through it. You have all the pyro and everything shooting off. And this is where you knew things were going to be a little different, because I'm quoting here, I'm quoting Corey Graves. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That those were words that got out on TV. Now you're going, oh my god, they're getting in trouble for saying the word shit? No. Because, I mean, they could, because it's a little early, but on cable, that word has become more and more acceptable, especially on the USA networks and the TNTs and stuff like that. It's becoming a little bit more acceptable, so they can get away with it from time to time, especially in a moment where it's supposed to be real. So for those who probably did complain, that's why.
Yeah, it's, I think anymore on network television, you can get away with pretty much anything except for the F word, and obviously anything racist or super, super, super bad. But, you know, the casual curse words, the lesser curse words, if you want to call them that, you can say on network TV. Now, you can't use it like after every other word, because then that's profane. But like you mentioned, you know, in a moment where it is appropriate, where it is a reaction, a very genuine reaction to a situation, it works. And that, like you said, that's what this was. You just had two guys go through the board. Now, mind you, every other time we go through the announce or through the entrance screen, nothing really happens. It kind of goes black. It flickers, or we go to the test screens or whatever, and that's it. This was an extended, they went through, there was extended pyro, flickering lights, the board freaking out. And what I really loved about this is at some point we changed the camera angle from directly on the stage to the side of the stage. So we see more of the explosions going off, and we see people rushing out. We see backstage personnel, in quotations, rushing out, rushing to the side. We see Corey Graves rush to the situation. Everybody's trying to get there to see what's going on and how can they help Strowman and Lashley. And this goes on for a few minutes of everybody kind of in a panic. Oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? And then it's like they get down there and you see Bobby Lashley convulsing on the floor because he's essentially laying on a power cord and he's being hit with electricity. Strowman is motionless on the floor. There's debris and there's sparks and there's stuff like everywhere because they've destroyed this area and caused it to explode. And as people are investigating, you have the paramedics come in and start to assess and take care of the situation. And you see all of this. Mm-hmm. Like the camera doesn't move until the paramedics get there and they start putting Lashley and Strowman on the gurneys.
And what I liked about the camera angle they chose, because it made it feel real. It wasn't, oh my God, we're going to stick these cameras up in their face. They backed away from the situation. You saw everything happen. So it's like, okay, we're good here. It's like,
it was like it was a closed circuit camera almost, because it wasn't an HD camera. It was like it was almost set up to be a closed circuit thing that they had it in the arena. And you're literally watching this, that's the only camera they have that can catch this angle is this crappy, like, security camera. So here you go. Here's what's going on. And it felt real. Like, it was a natural, real reaction to see people in panic and to see people rushing to help. And in that moment, the fourth wall kind of broke. For me, at least, where it's like you take something that, okay, maybe isn't real and apply it into a real life situation, and it's like, all right, now we're getting somewhere.
Now you have people hooked. You have people who turned in for the first 15 minutes who go, okay, what's going to happen next? So we came back, Renee and Corey and Michael, they're all confused. They're like, they're not super hyper. They're very somber and they're talking about the situation. We see both men go into the stretcher, into the ambulances, and we got updates throughout the night on their conditions. And what made it good is, if you missed that angle, they showed it over and over and over and over again, meaning here was a big monumental angle that happened on the show, and we're not going to let you forget it actually happened, which is stuff they did a lot, which they always do, but they gave you context every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was always backed up by, it either followed an update or it was a predecessor to an update.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
So it was like, okay, we're going to keep following up. And it's like, perfect. They made you aware of the situation. They said, here's what happened here. They got taken to the hospital.
Medical facility.
I think Renee, Twitter went crazy. Renee said hospital on the air. Twitter went crazy on that one.
Oh, you know, like you do.
Following the conclusion of Raw's opening Falls Count Anywhere match, both Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley were admitted to a local medical facility as a result of their injuries sustained during a crash through the Raw stage LED board. As reported by the Raw broadcasting, Lashley is resting comfortably and is undergoing further evaluation, while Strowman might have suffered a ruptured spleen.
Which, if you buy into the rumors that Braun Strowman is working hurt, this is also a way to get him written off TV so he can take care of himself before coming back.
There you go. And maybe there's a new Raw set coming. So they follow this up with the Viking Raiders coming out, and they couldn't get the power back on the stage yet. So they came out in darkness, which worked.
I liked it.
Which worked. By the time we got back, the stage was set. New Day came out, so it was Viking Raiders New Day. It's fine. It happened. It ended in disqualification when Joe showed up going after Woods. Kofi made the save. We then came back from break. Did Joe and the Viking Raiders versus the New Day. Joe made Kofi pass out, which... right there goes, okay, that's Kofi's first loss. since becoming champion. I know people on Twitter were like, well, he lost the fall, but fall on SmackDown. He didn't lose a match. This is his first actual loss.
Yeah. And what was nice about this was, and I think people were upset about this, was that Joe and Kofi did not have entrances when they came out. You just had Joe come out of nowhere and attack Xavier Woods and try to beat up Xavier Woods, and then Kofi comes out of nowhere for the save.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Okay, I'm probably in the minority in wrestling when it comes to that, but I hate how it's like, you're going to sneak attack somebody, so here, let me cue up my entrance and do my full entrance and walk out and then beat you up. Like, there is zero element of surprise. I love when people just, like, show up out of nowhere, no entrance, no nothing, it's just bam, and it's an effective, easy strike. I love when wrestlers and wrestling does that, because it makes so much more sense. Like, having someone walk out and do their full entrance is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
And what makes it stupid is the person coming out doing their entrance is like, yeah, I'm doing my entrance, look at me, while the other guy that he's supposed to be attacking is standing there watching him. And the other guy that's supposed to be attacking him is not running, right?
He's just walking.
He's just watching this guy come out to beat his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And that has never made sense to me. It's like, dude, get out of the ring. You've got a head start on him. Leave. Just leave.
So, as everybody knows, Drake Maverick. He got married, and he was headed off to his honeymoon, but he made one last stop for going on his honeymoon, and that's he brought his wife to Monday Night Raw.
Okay, first of all, his wife is super cute.
But he's not here for the title, he's just, it's his job, he's supposed to be at Raw, so this is where he's at before he goes off on his honeymoon. So he's not going to go after the title, not at all.
He promises her that,
yeah. He made it a point. As he was hugging his wife, R-Truth stared at him and showed up with the title. And then he starts singing, Truth did, towards them. Then you had Maverick sitting at ringside with his wife. As Cesaro attacked No Way Jose. As they were supposed to have a match, but it just ended up being beat down. As you had the whole crew, you know, run around chasing after him. So there was that. And it continued, as the night went on, it continued. You had more and more update. As you saw, Drake was leaving. He was leaving the building, and then you see the whole band of merry men just running around chasing after Truth, and then Truth sort of tries to sneak by, and then him and Maverick have another stare down, and then Truth is, you know, he's out of breath, he needs water, and he just slowly walks away. Maverick's wife at this point, I think, went to get the car or something.
Yeah, he's like, why don't you go get the car? I'll stay here.
And then he picks up his bag and whacks Truth in the back of the head, pins him for the 1-2-3, and is now the new 24/7 champion. And he screamed out something to the effect of, we can now do it 24/7.
And his wife's, like, they follow this up with a shot of them on Twitter, and his wife's face says everything. She's so done with this crap. She's so tired of it, but here they are. He's got the 24/7 title, and they're off on their honeymoon, and I goddamn better well get updates while they're on their honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I will be very disappointed.
So yeah, we're probably going to get some sort of stuff that happened. So there was that on this show. A couple quick things. We had a moment of bliss, which was interrupted by Carmella. Carmella challenged Alexa to a match. Carmella beat Alexa really quickly, in like 10 seconds. We came back from break, Nikki versus Carmella. Nikki beat Carmella. Then backstage, Sarah walked up to Alexa and Nikki going, what do you feel about the WWE Universe winning you, Nikki, to challenge for the title instead of Alexa? And Alexa said no comment and just walked away.
It did not go over well, and it definitely got Alexa's wheels turning.
So maybe we have a triple threat match coming up at Extreme Rules.
Maybe.
It was Miz versus Elias in a 2 out of 3 falls matchup, which the Miz ended up winning 2 of the 3 falls by making Elias tap out. It was quick, simple. It did what it needed to do.
Interestingly enough, as Miz was walking to the ring for this match, he had a little friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it seems Mercy the Buzzard was keeping tabs on Miz. This was the only puppet, confirmed sighting, I should say, for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So Mercy is keeping tabs on Miz. What are the other three up to? I wonder. Maybe Bray wrangled them and he's just got to catch the buzzard. So he's following the buzzard around.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Miz also cut a really awesome promo on Shane and
McIntyre. edit. Speaking of cutting promos with a unique touch, it was the Lacey Evans Baron Corbin promo.
I still really like this pairing. I feel like they played to their strengths. They've changed how they're writing Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
They have changed. They have him much more snarky than he ever used to be. They're playing to his strengths, which is he's, no offense, Baron, but he's kind of an asshole. So they're playing to that strength, which is fantastic.
Yeah, so they cut the promo talking about the matchup coming up at Extreme Rules, which is now an Extreme Rules match. This led to Lacey beating Natalya with some help from Baron Corbin. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect little setup. Then we were backstage, and Rollins and Becky were being interviewed by Charlie. They wished well to Braun and Bobby. And they were trying to have them sort of flirt on air, and it kind of didn't work. They were trying. Talking about it, Rollins getting lucky and stuff like that. It was weird.
I think what I find really interesting about this is that the roles are almost very much flipped. Like, Seth is almost the girl and Becky is almost the guy in this.
But when this is where things picked up, Maria Kanellis showed up and she took exception to them calling themselves the first couple of WWE, because you're not. Maria then talks about Lynch beating Ronda, but while she pushed an 8-pound baby out of her uterus, and Maria said Rollins doesn't impress her. Mike Kanellis and picture Maria said Rollins is the only champion because her husband hasn't had a chance to take it from him. How about me and my bitch take on you and yours, Maria said.
Mm.
So this led to a mixed tag team matchup. And as Becky was about to get her hands on Maria, she got a microphone going, I'm pregnant.
Does anybody have any idea how long I've been waiting for somebody in WWE to do that? Like, as an excuse to get out of a match. Like, I'm pregnant, but they do it in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been waiting for someone to do this. Thank you, Maria Kanellis.
Maria Kanellis, Mike Kanellis goes, how? And Maria goes, I don't know, because I don't think you're man enough to get me pregnant.
Back it up. First, he's like overjoyed.
Yeah.
That she's pregnant. Like, he's like, oh my God. And he's so happy. And he's like, baby, how? And then she just like cuts his, just like ends him right there on national television.
Becky made Mike Kanellis tap out, by the way. Afterwards, as they left, Maria told Mike that she can't believe he's the father of her children. She said she waited for him to grow up and take responsibility. She said, the only man in the ring tonight was the man. Maybe next time I'll ask Becky to impregnate me.
Okay. All right. Okay, moving on. By the way, Becky's reaction to Maria being pregnant was hilarious. Because she's like, yeah, okay, good luck with that. And she, like, actually pats Maria's, like, belly and walks off. She's like, not touching it, not doing anything. Mm-mm. I'm fine.
So,
we're good.
For those curious, I don't know if she's pregnant or not. We'll that will come out in the days to come.
If she was pregnant, if she's really pregnant, then they're going to write her off very, very quickly. But I would speculate that she's probably not.
No. Well, she had a baby a year ago.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
No, I'm replying to the chat. She's not. It's an angle. She just had a baby. It was over a year ago. She had the baby.
Yeah, so she's within range of having another kid. You can have more children. I think technically you can do it anywhere from, like, you should really start about 6 months after she's had the baby is when you should start to try again. Because if you do it any earlier than that, her body's still technically adjusting to everything. So I think you could probably do it as early as 4, but 6 is just, 6 lets everything sort itself out because everything's got to.
Yeah, and we're about over a year.
Regulate.
We're about a year already.
Yeah, so she could be, she may not be.
But the reason I bring up Maria Kanellis was she's a Paul Heyman girl, and this was a clear example of Paul Heyman getting his people on television.
I'm completely down with it.
Say what you will about Maria in the ring, she's a great talker. She's really good in her roles. Just pointing that out.
If they write her correctly, she's going to be really good.
She'll be really good. So there was that on the show. Street Profits were here.
Okay, cool.
They were cutting some promos throughout the night, and one involved rubbing Paul Heyman's head.
No comment.
They were very upbeat, and you could tell they've been probably working with the Road Dogg down in NXT on promos.
You more than tell. They've got the shtick down.
So we'll see what they do. They had their belts with them, so that was a plus. They kind of flubbed, I guess, in the beginning because they quickly showed them on screen during the introduction. But maybe it was a flub, or maybe it was to show you, hey, they're there, and it was like, here's a little tease. I don't know.
Maybe.
But their Instagram kind of screwed up. So, yep. that person running social is probably no longer having a job tomorrow.
Oh, no. It's not that serious.
You never know.
You never know, but I doubt it's that serious.
You never know. Let's see. What else happened on this show? We did the Miz. We did the Rollins. Okay. So let's talk about the best in the world, Shane McMahon. You had Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre come out, and they're cutting their normal promo. And then you have Drew McIntyre decide he has some balls. And they turned their attention to The Undertaker.
Who, they're smart. They're teasing him all night. Like,
yeah, for the first hour, it's like, the Undertaker could be here. The Undertaker could be here. Like, that was a really positive thing. It's like, they're not promoting him, but he could be.
But they're like, the rumors have been flying. Are they true? Is The Undertaker here tonight? We don't know, but we're going to find out. Like, that's how you deal with Taker, is it's like, which honestly, I hadn't seen any rumors, but I've been off social media a lot today of Taker being there. I figured he would be since they just kicked the angle off last week. So it's like, well, it makes sense. But yeah, this was nice how they continued to just sort of like tease if Taker was there or not, especially during this.
So McIntyre said The Undertaker's the greatest legend in WWE history, and he struck fear in the hearts of every man he's ever faced. McIntyre talked about he's not an ordinary man. He's a hybrid of each generation. He doesn't give a damn about The Undertaker. He said he and Shane heard the rumors about The Undertaker appearing, so he came dressed to fight. McIntyre called out The Undertaker, basically, to say they're not afraid of him, and they will exterminate the legacy of The Undertaker at Extreme Rules.
Okay, those are legit, like, the most famous last words in WWE, is you just stand there in the center of the ring, balls in hand, and go, I'm not afraid of The Undertaker, while trying to call him out.
So, we then had lightning.
Oh, we had rumbling. We had the lights flickering. We had Taker was most displeased at being summoned. He was even more displeased that they didn't say please. And so, you know, he had to set an example of why he should be feared.
So then he, as we mocked in the intro, took his sweet ass time to walk to the ring.
It's Taker. I love him to death, but it's Taker. He's like, whatever.
But this was longer than normal. It's not the walk to the ring that was longer than normal, because that's just Taker. Him walking out on the stage took him forever.
Yeah, it's almost like he's standing there like, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. Mark, you gotta go. Uh-uh. Wait for it, wait for it. Mark, you gotta go.
No.
No.
This is
wait for it.
It's not.
There it is.
It's not 10:55. I got time.
And props to them for putting Taker on at 9.
Yeah.
Like, so he has the time to do the promo, he can do it the way that he needs to do it, and he's not worrying about getting cut off, and I'm very grateful they did, because when he finally graced us with his presence.
He explained some stuff.
He explained some stuff, which, I mean, realistically, he's like, he gave this long, elaborate speech about why he helped Roman Reigns and da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was fine. It was a really actually well-written Taker promo. Somebody figured out how to write The Undertaker. I'm pretty sure it was Paul Heyman. And so you have him doing that, but Brock and I are legit sitting here going, you know, he could just say I'm the goddamn Undertaker. That's why I did it.
Because here's what happened. Reigns never asked for help. That's not who he is, said The Undertaker. But if you need answers for why, let me explain who I am. This is where I said to Lindsay, he just should say, I am the goddamn Undertaker. That's why. But instead, I am, and have been, the Reaper of a Wayward Soul for a long time, and I'm here to collect your souls.
And this is the moment where I yelled at the TV, you already got Shane's. You need to keep better records.
I had Shane's respect for a little while, and said that he gave him all he had when they met in Hell in a Cell, and he actually lived to tell about it. But just like mortal men, you feel victim to your own greed and ego. You see, you may be the best in this world, but where I'm sending you, you'll be nothing more than a couple of lost souls suffering to the torment and torture of the stench of death. And that will be for all eternity. You too will never Rest in peace.
So again, I have to compliment whoever produced this or whoever directed this, because the lighting was on point. They changed the camera angles on The Undertaker to where he looked really, really good. And not to say that he doesn't look good any other time that we see him, but this in particular, the way that they framed him, the way that they lit him, y'all, we got The Undertaker tonight. Full on, old school Undertaker, like he used to be back in the day. The only complaint I have about this, and I know I'm extremely biased because I know a lot of people did not like this segment, but the only thing I did not like about this segment was I hate when the announcers talk during Taker's entrance. I hate it. It drives me up a goddamn wall. You don't need Michael Cole or Renee Young or Corey Graves talking for the 15 minutes it takes The Undertaker to get to the ring. Just let me sit here and enjoy him, right? Because the dude showed up. He's here to whip somebody's butt. He's not in a great mood. And they have figured out how to light him and how to write for him and how to shoot for him. And goddammit, just give me my Undertaker. Like, they tease me with the lightning. And it's like, whatever the hell this is, I'm on board. Second that lightning happened, I'm like, I am so on board for this. Because they remembered The Undertaker can do magic. Beyond the poof, he's there, poof, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can actually shoot lightning, and he can do this, and he can do that. And this was the second use of promo tonight, or pyro, I should say, that was highly effective in terms of having a result.
So, there's all that. And then there's one other theme throughout the night. It was Gallows and Anderson. And they were egging AJ Styles on. They were egging Rikishi on. And they were trying to get the old AJ Styles out of him. They're trying to get him to be the old AJ Styles. And, you know, they talked about how, you know, he got the win last week, but, you know, it took you long enough and all this fun stuff. And basically, Carl Anderson bet his hot Asian wife that AJ couldn't get the job done. So you have that on the line.
To which Carl Anderson is going to have a copious amount of explaining to do when he gets home.
He will. Possibly. Maybe not. We'll see.
I bet he does.
He may. But maybe she's into it. Who knows?
Well, I mean, if it was AJ and...
I mean, you never know. So at one point backstage, AJ went to confront Rikishi, challenge him for a title match tonight on Raw, slapped him across the face, Rikishi slapped him across the face, and the match was on in your main event. So, they do the match, it goes a little bit long, yet AJ pick up the win, but Rikishi's foot was on the rope. So we go to break, come back, the match gets restarted. There's your convoluted way of getting the match, no wrestling during the break. That's fine. So, that all goes down, and then Rikishi, out of nowhere, gets the win on AJ Styles. Gallows and Anderson are there. They're watching. They're on the ring apron now. They're teasing like they're going to get in the ring, and AJ's telling them to back off, and tells Rikishi to back off. And then they start taunting AJ and going something about the old AJ. And then the old AJ Styles snaps. He starts beating down Rikishi. And then Gallows and Anderson start beating Rikishi down. And the three of them leave Rikishi laying after a Styles clash off the middle rope.
Which Rikishi just sold perfectly because he laid there like, ow.
And this is how the brawl ends, with the club standing tall. And I'm going to quote AJ Styles because he just tweeted. It's not in a far off country. It's not in the history books or old videos. It's here and now.
We're all doomed. In a great way.
We have heel AJ Styles. We have a renewed push for Gallows and Anderson. Okay.
If this is the direction that Raw's going to head, I'm on board for this. I'm going to hold back full judgment on it until I get a really, really clear picture of what this is going to be. But tonight gave me hope for what the future of Raw is and how they're going to proceed. And I think that's extremely important for everybody, is it's like, we have all demanded change, we have all begged for it, pleaded for it, asked for it, screamed for it, whatever, and it's here. We are now getting that change that we wanted. Is it good? Is it bad? We'll figure it out. But the product is now undergoing a slight revamp right before our eyes, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
So, for those, because it's being talked about in the chat room, don't hold your breath about SmackDown with Eric's involvement. He's not in the product like Heyman is. Bischoff, I believe, will be at SmackDown tomorrow, but don't expect the changes like we saw tonight.
Oops, sorry.
Because I think he's going to be slower to work himself in because he hasn't been with the product in a while. Like, he's starting, I would say, after this pay-per-view, leading in the SummerSlam, after SummerSlam, where hope you'll really see it. And this was just small little changes from Heyman. You can tell the pace of the show was different, but it was not all Heyman. You saw a lot of Vince in this show as well.
But Vince and Heyman work very well together when they get along with each other. And I mean, in terms of Bischoff basically said that he's going in this weekend and he's doing a deep dive into WWE, into the product, into the talent, into everything so he can re-familiarize himself with the company before he takes over SmackDown, because I think SmackDown is going to wait until after SummerSlam before I think he takes over. I believe that's when they said it was, or it was going to be in August sometime. Heyman is already starting because Heyman already has experience doing this in a very limited setting. Eric Bischoff, I don't think, while he has management experience like this, is not quite like what he's used to, so they want to make sure that this is for him and he's okay with it. And he's starting to familiarize himself with the product again and learn names and all that other stuff. Like, he's already starting that, but before it will be a while before he takes over.
But that'll do for the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Monday night, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern. Usually on Thursday it's the Rack, but we're off this week because Lindsay's going away, so there will be no Rack this week. But the Rack will return live in 2 weeks on the 18th, but there will be a special edition of the Rack the following week to preview Extreme Rules. So there's all that. You can check out our 7-year show, available now on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, to honor Slammiversary, which is this Sunday on pay-per-view. Who is the greatest TNA wrestling, Impact wrestling wrestler of all time? We'll determine in the greater than great debate this Saturday night, midnight-ish, cbradiolive.com, wildtalkradio.com. Sunday night, they'll be back, the boys, WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, to preview Extreme Rules, 10 p.m. Eastern. As mentioned, we'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. If you have an Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free to this channel, which is twitch.tv/WTRLive, to support us. Another way to support the channel and support the network is by using creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or in anything involving the Epic Game Store. So if there's the Roller Coaster Tycoon or the Cyberpunks or whatever, anything Epic produces, use code ROCKETSOCK because that helps.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD.
So this has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, which is youtube.com/MBG1211. We will see you next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com. Subconscious boys working overtime, boy. Kings of the South, we never had nothing. Blue collar boys do it with their hands muddied. WildTalkRadio.com.